Today I have Ollie Richards from the UK in an interview. Ollie Richards has the language learning blog, I Will Teach You Language. He speaks 8 languages and started learning only with 19. Ollie, I'm so glad to have you here.
Yeah, thank you very much for the invitation. Very happy to be here.
So you're from the UK. In the UK, everybody speaks English. Why did you decide to learn another language, even though English is kind of the language of everybody?
Yeah, well, it was one of those things that happened very naturally, really. Like you said, when I was 19, I only spoke English. I did do a bit of languages at school, but, you know, like everybody else, I wasn't very interested at the time. Now, for me, it was it happened quite suddenly. I had a job in London. I was working in a cafe when I was about 19, and I was surrounded by all these people from different countries, you know, Germany, Italy, Sweden, France, and I was really impressed that they all spoke English. And so I started to think, well, how come they all speak English, but I don't speak any other languages, you know? And I just started to notice then that the world was not as I thought it was, and it wasn't just an English-speaking world. So I began to, that was when I first became interested in the idea of learning other languages. And then shortly after that, I actually moved to Paris, and I learned French when I was there, because I didn't really have much to do, to be honest. So I learned French, and I was quite successful at learning French. And so I realized then that actually, if I want to learn another language, I can. And that was the beginning, really, for me, when I realized, actually, yes, I can do it if I really want to.
All right. So, but can do it and then go up to 8 languages, there's still something in between. So what made you decide to go that far?
Well, again, it wasn't really a decision. I mean, yeah, I've studied, probably 10 languages. We were talking earlier about German, and German's a language that I don't really speak. I speak a little bit, but I only studied it for a few weeks. And likewise with Thai, I studied Thai for a couple of weeks. And there are other languages as well, which I'm not very good at. You know, it's not like I speak 8 languages completely fluently. It's a big mix of different ranges. But the reason was, like, it wasn't really a decision so much. It's just that certain things happened to me in my life which made me want to learn a new language. So, for example, when I moved back to London, my best friend there was from the Canary Islands, where they speak Spanish. And so I was interested in learning Spanish so that we could talk together. And then the same thing happened with Brazilian Portuguese. And, you know, then later I moved to Japan. So it was never like me sitting at home thinking, oh, I must learn lots of languages. It was just always a very natural thing based on my own life and what was happening to me at the time.
Yeah, I know where you're coming from. Every language has its own story.
Yeah, but I know, like, when you're first starting, it does seem like a lot. I understand that, but I think there's no way that I would have been able to learn these languages just out of a kind of academic interest. You know, it has to be a living, breathing thing. And likewise, you know, when I stop using the language, if I don't have friends anymore from that country, or if I don't live in that country anymore, I kind of stop using the language. Really, it's very organic process for me.
Yeah, use it or lose it.
Exactly.
you want to humor me with German a little bit? Like something that you can do?
In German, ich habe Deutsch 3 Wochen gelernt. Ein Monat, vielleicht. Aber ich kann nicht gut sprechen.
Okay. Well, it's a process.
How's that? Exactly.
It's a start. You said it flawlessly, so that's good.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a surprise.
So you said you were in Japan and France. How do you decide to go and live in another country, and how can you even manage to do that?
Yeah, well, a combination of things, really. With France, I was just stupid, really. I was like 19, and I had no real plans, and I literally bought a train ticket, a one-way train ticket to France, and I went there and stayed with a friend, and, you know, eventually I got a job in a youth hostel, ended up staying for longer. It's the kind of thing you can only really do when you're a teenager, really, when you have no responsibilities. That was really the only time I did something really crazy like that. Later on, you mentioned Japan, and that was because actually I decided I wanted to go and live in Japan, and so I got a job teaching English, and the place where I got the job took me out to Japan to teach, and I ended up staying there for 3 years, and so that was why. And then in other countries where I've lived, so for example in Qatar and in Egypt, again I went with the company to those different places. So you know, as a native English speaker, you do have the luxury of being able to travel and teach, you know, if you want to. So I definitely took advantage of that privilege.
That's good. So now you're back in London, and right?
That's right. Yeah, I'm here in London. Yeah.
And any further plans to go somewhere abroad?
Oh, always. I mean, I'm going to Hong Kong actually at the end of the year. So I'm I've been studying Cantonese for a while, and it's really hard. And so one of the things I've decided to do is to actually go and spend some time in Hong Kong. So I'm going to spend a couple of months there and really practice as much Cantonese as I can. And yeah, other than that, I do try to, you know, there are a lot of really cool language events that go on around the world. You know, there's conferences in Berlin and in Montreal. So I do tend to travel quite a bit, but it's usually not really for language learning purposes. You know, like we were talking about before, it's normally because I have I'm interested and I want to go to the country. So yeah, so I'm looking forward to Hong Kong. That's going to be great in 2 months. But it's funny, you know, because traveling is not necessarily a really great thing for language learning, you know, because often, you know, you go to another country and you have all kinds of problems. I mean, people don't just speak to you for hours on end. And if they do, sometimes they speak to you in English and, yeah. You know, it can be difficult. So one of the things I'm doing right now is thinking of how can I make the most out of those 2 months in Hong Kong? You know, how can I arrange my time? What kind of things should I do in order to make sure I get enough Cantonese practice when I'm there?
All right. Sounds good. And I guess now after so many languages, obviously with every language you had a different approach and you tried different things, but I guess now you have kind of the quintessence of how to really go forward, like the perfect process. So what would you do if you start a language? Like what would be your steps from the beginning, and what would you advise to go forward?
It's a great question. I mean, I've learned two languages this year, for example, from the beginning. And so I spent in April, I did some German, and in August I did some Thai, but I did it in two very different ways. Now, for German, for example, I mean, you heard me speak a bit of German earlier. I'm surprised that you said that you understood me, but obviously it worked, right? What I did, I mean, something worked. And with that, I did one very simple thing, which is I bought a textbook. And in the case of German, I think it was colloquial German textbook. Mm-hmm. And I literally worked through it every day. I did a new chapter in the book, and often I would go back and revise that chapter. And in the case of German, I think because English is my mother tongue, and German and English have a lot in common, I decided to take a very natural approach to learning it. Mm-hmm. So I said to myself, okay, all I'm going to do is work through this book from beginning to end, and I'm going to focus on the dialogues in the textbook. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read them until I understand them, mm-hmm. and listen to them, and then I'm going to move on to the next one. And that's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to, in this case, I've decided not even to speak. I didn't speak German. I didn't have any lessons. I literally just worked through the textbook. And it's a really effective approach because, there are all kinds of tricks that you can use to learn a language faster. But when you're just starting, you need that foundation, right? You need to know the basic stuff in the language. And for me, like a good textbook is you have everything you need. So it's not the sexiest way to do it, but my recommendation is usually to get started, just work through a textbook, get that foundation, and then, you know, then you're in a position where you can start speaking with people and and you already know the basics. So that's what I did for German, and I think it's a really good way forward. Thai was different because it's a very different language to English. And for that, I actually went to Thailand and I took 2 weeks of private lessons in a language school. And I actually made a video documentary of it, actually. And if you look for me on YouTube, you can see like my daily videos learning Thai. So you can see exactly like what I did every day, which I think is quite interesting for people. And in that case, I didn't use a textbook. I had lessons every day. And those lessons were basically conversation lessons. And we just kind of spoke really basic Thai, and then my teacher would give me new words and phrases, and I would go away and learn them. And after, you know, after 10 days or so, I could speak, and we were having a conversation. And there's a video, again, on YouTube of my conversation in Thai after 2 weeks. And so they're two very different methods, but they both work. For most people, I think the kind of basic textbook approach is probably the most kind of convenient, because you can do it anywhere and you can do it in your own time.
All right. I'll make sure to link to the video. And about the German approach, that's a good approach. That's what I do usually as well, either a textbook or a podcast or a combination of both, just to get the foundation. So I think that's a very good method to just have the basics and then go on from there.
Yeah, I mean, it does depend on the language, because in the case of Thai or Cantonese or Chinese, you know, you've got difficult pronunciation issues. You know, you've got tones. You know, Thai and Chinese have five tones. Oh, Mandarin, well, I don't speak Mandarin, so I'm not sure, but Cantonese has six tones, Thai has five tones, and there's some difficult pronunciation as well. So I think with a more distant language from your mother tongue, it's really important to have a teacher at the beginning, I think, so you can really get that pronunciation accurate from the beginning.
Yeah, that makes sense. And so you have this blog, I Will Teach You a Language, with lots and lots of visitors. And what are the kind of biggest problems of your visitors, and what do you advise them to do to solve that problem? Like maybe one or two of the biggest problems that people approach you with constantly.
Yeah, well, I mean, my readers are really, I think they're divided into two categories. First of all, there is the kind of polyglot, or the passionate language learner, and they don't really have any problems. I mean, their biggest problem is time, like time to study all these languages. But then there are people who are, you know, complete beginners, and you know, the typical problems are that they just don't know what to do. You know, they want to learn Spanish, for example, and they just simply don't know what the best method is. So their question on a very basic level is, okay, what do I do? Just tell me what to do every day. And then other than that, it's like, people are nervous about starting to speak. You know, they see people like me recommending that you start to speak with a native speaker, and they don't know where to find that person. They don't know how to start speaking. And then the other one is time. You know, I don't have time to learn, so what can I do in a short space of time in order to learn quickly? Mm-hmm. Those are the three big questions.
Yeah, I see very similar things, especially questions like, I want to do that. I want to learn English. I want to learn French. What do I do? Like, no structure. Yeah. So definitely that's a very big question that I get asked a lot as well.
Yeah, and my advice is, for most people, is exactly what we were just speaking about with my German experience. You know, it's like, look, later on we can talk about the tricks and the tips and the strategy, but for now, just learn the basics. So go and get a textbook, work through it, and come back when you've done it. Yep. You know, that's, for most people, that is going to be the single biggest thing they can do. In terms of speaking, you know, it's a very psychological thing. It's a human problem. You know, we are nervous about speaking with strangers, especially when we don't know the language. And really, for me, it's a case of just finding someone, as my friend Richard calls them, a safe person. Like, find a safe person who you feel comfortable with. Mm. And you know, once you've found that person, then you can speak as much as you want. And then in terms of the time problem, it really, like, when you focus and when you have a simple aim, time stops becoming so difficult. So, for example, if we say, okay, all you're going to do is get your German textbook and do one chapter every day, or one chapter every 2 or 3 days, or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's all you're going to do. Don't worry about anything else. Just do that. Then suddenly those 15, 20 minutes that you have are quite useful, and you can actually do a lot of stuff in that time. So a lot of it is kind of reframing the way that you think about the process of learning. And but I think people also value having someone just confirm things for them, yep. and say, look, it's okay, you're doing the right thing, keep going, yep. that's fine.
Yeah, I see that. If you start learning a language, you don't really know whether the thing that you're doing is actually bringing you closer to the goal, and then you stop because you don't feel like it gives you anything, like it gives you any, you feel you don't move forward. But it, then it's good to go to sites like yours and see, yeah, you're doing it correctly. You just have to have more patience, and you have to continue doing it, and then you'll get better at it.
Yeah, just like, you know, if someone's trying to get fit or lose weight or something, it's exactly the same process. Like, you know, you start doing the obvious things. You know, you eat less, you go to the gym more. But then when you stop getting results, you know, you probably think, oh man, I'm doing something wrong. Yep. But actually, all you've got to do is keep going, and you'll be fine.
Yeah. And once you went through that process, you know, you don't need instant results to know that you're moving forward.
Yeah. Yep. And this is one of the big advantages that comes from, I think, having learned lots of languages. You know, even if I've learned them and then forgotten them, the experience of how the learning process works is so valuable. So, you know, even in the case of my Italian, for example, that I used to speak quite well, but now I've almost completely lost it. But that's fine, because that experience taught me something about learning. And so with the languages I went on to learn afterwards, that helped me in part of the process. But you know, it gives you the ability to say, okay, look, I'm not feeling motivated, I'm not feeling any progress, but that's okay. I've experienced this before. All I need to do is keep going, and that is a huge it takes away a lot of stress, I think, because you don't self-sabotage so much.
That's true. I guess that's it. Thank you very much. Do you have anything you would like to add, or anything we haven't talked about?
No, I mean, you know, I just think it's for me, like, learning languages is such a fantastic thing, and I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir here, because all of you, and I'm sure all of your listeners are really huge fans of languages. But no, I mean, I'm very accessible out there online. If anyone would like to get in touch, you know, feel free to come over to the website or the podcast and send me a message. I always reply when I can, and if anyone would like to ask me anything, or suggests anything for that I could make a podcast about or whatever, feel free to get in touch. I'll be very happy to hear from you.
I'll make sure to link to everything, and then they can get in touch with you.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much for the invitation. It's been great to chat.
Thank you very much too.